Hello everybody, this is Julian Ickham from CKMS Newsroom. We are 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Funds of Canada, the Government of Canada, and CKMS Newsroom. You can access the archives of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news. A main goal of this newsroom project is to fill in gaps left by local mainstream news outlets on many of the issues which have the most impact on our local communities. Specifically, we want this project to spread a more robust analysis around the intersection of homelessness and displacement, poverty, mental health, the war on drugs, and safer consumption initiatives. We want our listeners to gain a deeper understanding of the complexity of these interactions so they may be prepared to address these issues. This week, we will examine the importance of the Overdose Prevention Day, which is June 30th. This year, the issue pushed is the issue of safe supply. Today's show, we will talk to John Stone about overdose prevention and safe supply. John Stone was active in all three tent cities in Kitchener over the last 3 years, as well as the illegal safe injection site. Last year's tent city practiced safe supply by distributing safe narcotics to addicts so they can be used safely and participate. He is also part of the revolutionary student movement. So without further ado, here is John Stone. Okay, so my first question to you would be, can you explain your first experience with watching someone overdose? And how you felt?
It was scary, you know. You see someone turning blue. You know, you think they're dead. You think, oh, this is a dead person that I'm dealing with. And then you gotta go into action. You know, anytime you even if you don't necessarily see some even if it looks really dire, you have to go. Go and look for a sign of life, and if you have it, like, just go, and get someone to yell for help, you know. And that's the important thing, because the cops are gonna want to come, you know, but you don't want them there, because they have a way of making things worse, you know. And you know, that's why everyone's got to be trained. Everyone's got to be ready to recognize the signs of what an overdose is, because we've had some experience where people confuse having an overdose with having a heart attack, and that can be fatal. You know, mm-hmm. You always got to look for the signs and make sure everyone has naloxone training.
How did you feel emotionally when you first saw your first overdose?
It's strange, you know. You go into shock, you know, and your emotions, your feelings, your that with that whole, it just like it goes into. It just goes into like over. You don't even notice how you're feeling. You're just like become like you got to spring into action. And that's part of, like, I think the training too, is even if like it looks bad, you can't panic. Like you can't lose control. Like, it might sound a bit harsh, but that's just what you got to do. You know, you got to go into. Action mode. You got to become like a shark swimming through the water. You know, you can't pause, or else it's not you that's gonna die, but it's someone that might, and that's how it feels.
Why do you think there's a need for an international overdose day?
Because it's a massive issue. You know, I can guarantee that anyone who's watching this, anyone who's hearing this, knows someone who uses, definitely opiates, but also, like, you know, something other, some other kind of substance. And so it can happen to anyone. Can be in that position where they are witnessing an overdose, where they are with someone who is having an overdose, or they know someone. It's bound to happen, and it's happening right now as we speak. There's somebody ODing right now. There's somebody and it's a real killer, though, because now that's like that's how we do pain management, you know. So that's going to be it's just like so prevalent that it's not something you can ignore, that you pretend only happens on TV, only happens in the movies, only happens on like videos and stuff, like Pulp Fiction. It's reality. It's reality that we all gotta deal with, you know, and we gotta face.
What is the idea of safe supply, and why do we need safe supply?
Well, safe supply, you know, it's something where like supply, like with like the trade in opiates, you know, is something that's controlled by the state. So when you've got them involved, you've got a lot of violence surrounding that. You've got a lot of and because it's medical. It's a social issue that people like they got to that the state got has to control because it's a lot of money that goes there, and with like all that money, you got more problems, you got more competition, you've got more like turf stuff like that, like, you know, who sells what where. That's an important thing, and it's like everybody's like desperate because to make a profit, you know. Cause, like,
can you explain what safe supply is?
Safe supply is where people can have access to the a substance which is necessary for them safely, without quality control, make sure nobody is adding additives or impure substances that can cause medical issues. Which is another consequence of looking for profits in that trade.
So that without safe supply, people are putting other drugs like GHB and like benzos in fentanyl, which is increasing the mortality rate, as well as increasing the rate of sexual assault, because GHB is a date rape drug. And that drug addicts are going to use drugs regardless, so it's better to allow them to have a safe way to do drugs and have access to the drugs so they can live like normal people, as opposed to be forced in the drug game where there's violence and other such things.
And not just that, but like it's other drugs too, but it's also like bleach, like washing powder, like all kinds of stuff that no human should have in their body, and causes horrific medical problems, because that's what you got, where the state doesn't wants to sweep it up under the rug and wants to pretend like that's not a reality people face in Canada, which is supposed to be like, they don't live in Canada, you know, the real Canada, they live in Candyland, you know, that's what I say.
One of the things that this overdose Awareness Day is about pushing for safe supply. Do you think safe supply is something that is realistic and that can happen here in Canada?
I mean, whether or not it's realistic or not is irrelevant, because it's going to save lives. If you care about the people, if you think that, you know, people like have a right to live, and that violence shouldn't be part of like people's everyday reality in this place, which says it's so amazing, that people are so amazing here, or whatever. Even if it's anywhere else, you know, it's still the case. But it's not like whether or not it's realistic. That's why we fight for it. It's because we fight for it because it's the right thing to do.
And so, therefore, it's something that is necessary. You've been at every tent city this year, and last year one of the things pushed by tent city was safe supply, and my understanding was that at that tent city there was a safe supply available. Do you think that it's morally okay for activists to break the law to save lives?
Of course it depends on what the law says, but like there's morality and legality. They're two very different things, as history shows. But like that's what's most important, you know, saving people's lives, you know, because that's like a lot of people are caught in that contradiction, you know, like what's legal with what's like what's right, you know, and that's 100%. And a lot of people, like, they were breaking the law before, and now everyone wants to, everyone's blazing up and smoking reefer, like, and there's still, from my understanding, there's still people jails in jail for that, like, in the States, and, so we should be fighting to free them, too, to get them out for, which is not a crime, like, you know.
So, you, just going back on that, talking about incarceration, people in jails are there because of drug-related charges. You think that these people should be free?
Absolutely. And I think, like, the whole drug-related charges, it's like, you know, an excuse, you know, for what's the quarter, what's, like, especially in the United States. Or and it's also, like, free labor. That's, like, the 13th Amendment, how they didn't really abolish slavery in the States. They still have it continuing. So a war on drugs, it's really like a war on poor people, a war on racial minorities too. Like that's it's so it's just cover that they use, and they like have this and they like to demonize people and pit poor people against each other and stuff like that. So that's my feelings about the so-called Ronald Reagan, the so-called war on drugs, because it looks like if they wanted to get rid of drugs, you know, it's the opposite of that. You know, you got to looks like the drugs are winning. You know?
So you bring up the issue of war on drugs, and it's ironic that you do. Because while the majority of opiate users are white, middle-class people, the majority of inmates are poor people, predominantly people of color, people who are black and native. Do you think race plays a role in the war on drugs?
Absolutely. And like, they even, like, I mean, like, if you even, like, pro, like, a lot of parties, they even have, like, so-called, quote-unquote, anti-gang, like, programs, which are really just, like, state-sponsored profiling, where they go into certain communities, and they get policed more because of prejudice, because of racism, and that's not some conspiracy theory. That's something that they say, we're going to pledge all this money for so-called anti-gang stuff, and they say, oh, we need to. They're extra bad. You know, this is like most of the parties, you know, that are up there today, like all the big the big three. You know,
when you say the big three, you're talking about the Liberals, Conservative, and the NDP, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Right now, one of the things that has happened because of protest is safe injection site. And this is done a lot because of people setting up illegal safe injection sites, as well as awareness. How do you think the issue of safe supply will become a thing? Like, how do you think it will be achieved?
I mean, people got I think it's something, it's a conversation that's that needs to be had, you know, because I think, like, the violence around, like I said, the war, the drugs are winning, you know, like, now more and more people are starting to be affected. Like, I think everyone knows someone who's had who's had an overdose or something like that at this point. So it's gonna be a conversation. People, you know, the masses, they're going to look for the solution to the problem, and that there are going to be lots of ones that do work, lots of ones that don't, lots of ones that won't necessarily work. But you know, we gotta push forward. We gotta try, you know. And that's, like, that's a good way, you know, getting it to be where it's not, like, you know, where it's out in the open, you know, something people can do without fear, you know. And there's not the whole issue of where there's no quality control, and so a lot of people are getting, like, to taken advantage of, a lot of health problems as as well. So it's just gonna, like, the more it becomes part of people's reality, you know, the more it comes to the forefront, you know, it gets off the back burner, you know.
In terms of health problems, it seems to me the majority of opiate addicts started with pain issues and prescription drugs. So my question to you is this a medical issue, or is this a issue created by the medical industry? And if it is an issue created by the medical industry, does that not mean that the medical industry has a role to play in making up for the harm that it's caused?
I mean, yeah, that's a really good question. Like, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like medicine is a science. You know, it's always moving forward. You know, so we can't we gotta look at. Get it from a new perspective of, you know, sometimes like they used to prescribe people stuff like mercury, you know, so it's important to they called it the quicksilver, and they used to say they used to say oh yeah, you're a werewolf. They really said that. And so it's so we can't just say, okay, this is like a settled science. We got to recognize that, okay, like the way we are treating pain, it can cause further problems, but we got to think about that. But I mean, the way that it could also go is that, all right, then they're not gonna manage pain, and that's not acceptable either, you know. So you gotta look at that from a new way how it's being increased. And in the meantime, we got to make, like, hold the medical, like, profession, the medical establishment, and also, like, those who profit from there, like, where the business meets. We got to address that, and got to get that sorted out. It's a very it's a lot of money, and there's a lot there, and between the there's a lot of a gray area, you know, between, like, what's legal and illegal, especially with them making the laws and deciding basically who gets the biggest cut.
One of the worries of a lot of people around this is that people with legitimate pain issues are no longer having access to the medicine, which is forcing them to get drugs from the street. So how do we deal with the drug problem without criminalizing people? Because, like, the reality is that opiates is one of the most effective medication for pain, especially chronic pain.
Yeah, I'm not gonna dispute that. Like, it's the best means available, and in some cases, that's like. That's what has to be done, you know, what's needed to, and can't comment too much on that, but yeah, they got to, because that's where their people are, you know, prescribed opiates and things like that that need to be that they need to take to manage a pain condition. And then when the prescription, like, runs out, you know, or even they don't even fill in some right kind of paperwork, you know, or there's a mix up with their situation. Now they got to get it, or they're going to be, like, suffering, you know. They're going to be in agony, and that's not acceptable, you know. That's totally unacceptable.
Any final thoughts you have on International Overdose Day, or Safe Supply, or anything else?
Keep doing to all those who are fighting it, you know. So they get demonized, they get a lot of lies said about them. But, you know, we know what we do is right, because, you know, whoever, you know, like, saving someone's life, that's the most important thing you can do. That's something we got where we step in, where where they don't want to tread. And so yeah, that's you know what they're saying, it's thankless task sometimes because people don't know. But you know what they say, you know, virtue is its own reward, and that's something that that's why we're gonna keep fighting, you know, keep gonna fighting because there's a big disconnect, you know, between them, like the politicians and all their and people's daily reality, you know, and people gotta speak up about what they see in their everyday.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, and we hope to hear from you more on future programs.
Respect. Stay true to fake.
So, this episode of CKMS News featured John Stone, and he was speaking about the impact of International Overdose Day and Safe Supply. And this is very important. This has been Julie Nickum on CKMS News, on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, with RadioWaterloo.ca on the web. You can access the archives of this show on RadioWaterloo.ca/news. Thank you very much for listening.